Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We are sharing with you on the subject of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. This prophecy is the most important time prophecy in the Word of God. This prophecy reveals the work that the Messiah would accomplish in his first coming. It also declares the time period of God's dealings with the Jews and Jerusalem, which does relate not only the first coming of the Messiah, but also to the time of his second coming. If we misunderstand this prophecy, we'll have errors regarding end time events, and there has been great error in the body of Christ, as you will see. I hope you're planning on listening to all these broadcasts. There's going to be some very important information coming forth for you. We saw in the last broadcast in Daniel chapter 9, that Daniel understood by books the number of years where the 70 years of desolation of Jerusalem would be accomplished and that the children of Israel's time of captivity in Babylon would be finished. He saw this according to the writings of the prophet Jeremiah. We saw in Jeremiah 25 that in verse 11 and 12 it says, "The whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and they would serve the king of Babylon for 70 years." And then in Jeremiah 29:10, he says, "After the 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place." So Jeremiah revealed that this 70 years of captivity was going to end. God was going to visit the Jews and deliver them from the captivity. And Daniel understood this. Why were the Jews in captivity? It's because of their disobedience to the Word of God as given in Leviticus chapter 25. In Leviticus 25, from verse 2 to 4, it speaks of the fact that God commanded them that they should keep the land a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years they were allowed to sow the field, but then the seventh year was to be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Well, during the reign of the prophets, the Jews always kept this seventh year of a Sabbath of rest unto the Lord. But the Jews did not obey this command for 490 years during the reign of the kings in Israel. Every 7 years through a 490-year period would be 70. 70 times 7 equals 490. So there were 70 Sabbath years of rest that they failed to keep. And therefore, their punishment was the 70 years of captivity. Daniel understood this. While he was praying, Gabriel, the messenger angel from God, suddenly came to him and gave him understanding, speaking to him the fact that there was going to be another 490-year period of God's determined dealings with the Jews and with Jerusalem, and he gave him the 70 weeks prophecy. Now, we read this prophecy the last time, and we began looking in verse 24. Let's read verse 24 again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Here we see it begins with 70 weeks. What is a week? A week is a Hebrew idiom for a period of seven. So 70 weeks means 70 periods of sevens. What period of sevens is being spoken of? It's talking about a period of 7 years. So these 70 periods of 7 years, 70 times 7, equals 490 years. Well, the angel Gabriel came as he was praying and revealed to him that there was another 490-year period of time in God's dealings with the Jews in Jerusalem. He said in verse 24 that the 70 weeks are determined. The word determined means decreed, determined, or marked out. This means it has been already decreed, marked out, and determined by God. Daniel's people were the Jews. The holy city was Jerusalem. So here's 490 years decreed, marked out, determined regarding the Jews and the holy city of Jerusalem. Then we see in verse 24 that there are six infinitive phrases that follow. And we looked at the first three, and we're going to go through those and finish the rest of them today. The first one is to finish the transgression. The word finish means to finish or put an end to. And who is going to come and put an end to the transgression? It was going to be the Messiah. Transgression means the breaking of the law. And so Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come and put an end to and finish the breaking of the law or the transgressions, because he was going to bear away the transgressions on the cross. We know this from Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 8, where it says in verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Verse 8, "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Jesus was wounded, stricken for the transgression of the Jews, and not only for them, but also for the transgressions of the whole world. And this clause was fulfilled by Jesus Christ through the cross in his first coming. The second one was to make an end of sins. Make an end means to finish, make an end, to bring to a conclusion and complete it. Who could do that? Only the Messiah. We see in Isaiah 53:10, "Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." Hebrews 9:28, "Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." Hebrews 10:12, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." 1 John 2:2, "He's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus offered his soul in one sacrifice for the sins of the whole world to make an end of sins. The third one, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Here we see the Hebrew word for make reconciliation means to make an atonement. That's exactly what Jesus did. Isaiah 53:5, "He was bruised for our iniquities." Colossians 1:20, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." Romans 5, verse 8 and 10 and 11, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son in verse 10, and verse 11 says, "By whom we have now received the atonement." Jesus took our iniquities, making atonement so that we could be reconciled unto God. This was accomplished as well in the first coming of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Now the fourth one is to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, because of man's sins, he could not be righteous before God. Only the Messiah could bear away the sins of man to restore him to righteousness. And we see that Jesus is the one who accomplished this. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, it says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners." That's talking about Adam. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That's by Jesus' obedience. 1 John 3:7 says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." So what did Jesus do? He was the Messiah, God's righteous servant. He came to justify many. And the way he did this was by his obedience. He brought forth righteousness so that everlasting righteousness now has come for all those who receive him and do and walk in his word of righteousness. The fifth infinitive phrase is to seal up the vision and the prophecy. To understand this clause, we must first note that in the Old Testament, the signs of a prophet was that he received vision and prophecy from God. Many of the Old Testament visions and prophecies received by the prophets, they pointed to the Messiah and what he would accomplish in his first coming. Jesus the Messiah came to fulfill the Old Testament visions and prophecies about him. You must note that the word prophecy is this Hebrew word which means prophet. Of the 316 uses in the Old Testament, it's actually translated prophet 312 times. Only one time is it translated prophecy here in Daniel 9:24. It could be literally translated prophet. In this context, it is translated prophecy because it's speaking of the vision and the prophecy of the prophets. So the phrase is saying to seal up the vision and the prophecy of the prophets. So we must understand, what does it mean to seal up? If you seal up something in the Old Testament, it speaks of something that is completed or fulfilled or closed up. Like it's used of sealing up letters or sealing up evidence or sealing up other things. We see some scriptures such as 1 Kings 21:8, how he wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal and sent the letters. Jeremiah 32:10, "I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took the witnesses." Deuteronomy 32:34, he talked about how he laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures. The word seal up means to complete, fulfill, or to close up. So the meaning of this phrase needs to be looked at in its context. It is one of the six infinitives referring to the work of the Messiah in his coming. So we've seen that the first four were fulfilled in his first coming. Well, this one's also talking about being fulfilled in the first coming. It's declaring that the Messiah would come to seal up, complete, fulfill, and close up the vision and the prophecies of the prophets that were concerning him. Everything that was prophesied about Jesus was fulfilled by him, that was sealed up, completed, fulfilled, and closed up all that vision and prophecy in his first coming. Again, it's not talking about sealing up the vision prophecies in the Old Testament, which have not come to pass yet. They will be fulfilled in the end times. It's talking about what the Messiah was to accomplish in his first coming. Therefore, Jesus, the Messiah, sealed up, completed, fulfilled, and closed up all the vision and prophecy about him in his first coming. The sixth infinitive phrase is to anoint the most holy. The words "the most holy" is from one Hebrew word, which simply means holy. The question is, is this speaking of a person, or is this speaking of a place? If it were a person, it would certainly be speaking of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. If it were a place, it would be speaking of the temple, or the Holy of Holies, or Jerusalem. When Jesus came, he did not anoint the temple, he didn't anoint the Holy of Holies, and he didn't anoint Jerusalem. In fact, he revealed that the temple, the Holy of Holies, and Jerusalem were going to be destroyed, and that came to pass in 70 AD. When Jesus came and he gave up his spirit on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, revealing that the presence of God left the Old Testament temple as Jesus was the final sacrifice of the Old Testament. So the Old Testament was finished. The Old Testament temple was not needed anymore. Its sacrifice and rituals were abolished by his work on the cross. No longer was God's presence going to dwell in material temples or temples made by hands on earth. Who or what was anointed during the life of Jesus on earth? The answer is, it was a who, and that person was Jesus. We see this in the following scriptures. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, it says, "It came to pass, Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased." This is Jesus anointing at his baptism. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Jesus speaking the fact that he had already been anointed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He was anointed to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are bruised, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. This was all accomplished in the earthly ministry of Jesus the Messiah in his first coming. The most holy is referring to a person. That person is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So to anoint the most holy means to anoint the Holy One, which was fulfilled by Jesus at his baptism through his earthly ministry and continues on today. So in summary of this, we have seen the fact that the 70 weeks are seven sevens of years, 490 years, decreed and determined upon the Jews in Jerusalem. Within this 490-year period, six infinitive clauses were going to be accomplished, and they were all fulfilled by Jesus in his first coming. Jesus came to finish and put an end to the transgression and lawlessness, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation atonement, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up, complete, fulfill, and close up all of the vision and prophecy of the Old Testament prophets that were about him in the Old Testament to be fulfilled in the first coming, to anoint the Holy One who was Jesus the Messiah. So Jesus fulfilled all these. It is important to realize that these verses are talking about the work of Jesus Christ the Messiah and his fulfillment. As I close the program today, I have a book on this subject called Daniel's 70 Weeks Prophecy, $6 postage paid. To get it, give us a call at 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.